Now, she's in the news once more. Sandra Higgins, I'm talking about, from Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Meath. I was over there a few years ago with Sandra, and she is a wonderful woman and has a fantastic place. She's also the woman behind Go Vegan World and those advertising campaigns that have really made an impact and caught people's attention. And I'm sure the recent Lancet report on changing our eating habits for better health and the good of the planet have been music to Sandra's ears. She's in the news. She's on the line with me. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Jerry. Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. Thank you for taking my call today. God, I had the Sunday Times yesterday and I read about you once and then I read about you twice. You're in it twice, Sandra.
I'm in it twice, and the subject matter is actually in it three times because Justine McCarthy had a very good article on that new report.
That is right as well. That's in it also. Well, look, they're talking to you about, I suppose, Sandra, they're wondering, like the advertising campaign, I mentioned it there, Go Vegan World, has made a huge impact. And what they were questioning in the paper yesterday, I'm sure lots of people didn't see it or read it, is, it costs money for these ads, and they're asking you, where are you getting the money from? Do you want to tell us again how you explained it to the newspaper?
Well, you know, they're suspicious about the money because we live in a world where people generally don't do something for nothing. They don't hand out money because they want to help someone else. And in this case, that's all it is. It's people who share my view of animal rights, that our use of other animals is wrong. It's wrong because it harms them. It's wrong because it uses and owns them and takes their lives from them. And there are intersectional reasons why it's wrong for human health and for our environment. And they have funded the campaign simply to change things for other animals. They're not corporate donations. There's nothing sinister. We give everything away. We don't charge for anything. A lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon of veganism and they offer wellness programs and they publish books. Well, we don't do anything like that. We give all our help and support and advice and our vegan guide and everything away for nothing. And the people who are funding us are getting nothing in return except the joy that Go Vegan World has brought because so many people have gone vegan on foot of the ads.
So there's nothing sinister, you're repeating that again, behind it. There's no extremists behind this, nothing like that. They are people who want to see change and want to remain anonymous and support you and the campaigns. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. And far from being an anti-farmer campaign, we are fully supportive of farmers. What we are against is the use of other animals as food and clothing or any other use. We're not against farmers. And we do understand anybody who's misunderstanding the issue and fears for their livelihood. We have no desire to take anyone's livelihood from them. The humans will still have to eat. We still have to wear clothes. There'll still be a role for farmers and they'll be very much respected in a vegan world. But we'll be living from plants rather than animals.
How, Sandra, I think I mentioned this to you before and you might remind me again. I suppose when you look at an Irish context at the moment, we produce an awful lot of dairy. We produce a sizable amount of beef, pork, lamb, which all involves animals. How would you transition that to make the change? How long would that take? You'd need big buy-in from the farming community as well. Would it ever happen, do you think?
Well, it has to happen, you know, because The reports that have come out in the last few years, for instance, if you take the report that came out in 2016 from Oxford University, the Oxford Martin School, they found that if we went vegan by 2050, we would save 8 million human lives, we would reduce greenhouse gas emissions by two-thirds, and we would save $1.5 trillion in healthcare costs. So the writing is on the table for animal agriculture. Farmers really felt the pinch last year in 2018 between the very tough long winter and then the drought in the summer that nearly finished it. And what they don't realise is that animal agriculture is what is contributing to these. It's the biggest contributor that we can easily change to these extremes of weather.
Do you think, though, back to the point again, can it be done in a reasonable period of time? You know, to turn this huge wheel the other way and go over to crop production nearly in its entirety. And do you honestly believe that could be made viable and there's enough markets in the world to make that viable for agriculture in Ireland?
I think it'll take a concerted effort. Go Vegan World is particularly, we target the individual man, woman and child on the street to change how they live for ethical reasons. But that effect has caused a growing demand for plant foods in particular, but cosmetics and clothing as well. Marks and Spencer's have just launched a vegan footwear range. So it's not only food, but our way of doing it targets the man on the street to change. And that has caused a growing demand for plant products. And the industry is following foot. So actually the dairy and the animal flesh industries own some of these companies that produce the plant equivalents, so that they can see that the writing is on the cards, they can see that the demand has changed and they're meeting it. What we need to do is help farmers to transition so that they're not the ones left behind. It makes economic sense. If you think that in another year or two, Ireland is going to face 500 or 600 million fines in tax for failing to meet greenhouse gas emission targets, if we could avoid that, if we did something simple like help farmers to change their farms to forestry. So even though, you know, I know a lot of people will guffaw at that idea, but it makes economic sense because otherwise we're going to face such huge changes. The demand is there for us to grow crops that could grow very well in Ireland. For instance, there's a huge expansion in the production of oat milk as a replacement for dairy milk by vegans and by people consuming a plant diet. Oats grow very well in Ireland, so that's a market that we can cash in on very quickly. Vegans just don't eat tinned baked beans. You know, there's a lot of wonderful things that you can do with pulses. You can make meat analogues from them. You can make, there's a company actually making milk from peas. We can make plant milk from soya beans. Pulses grow very well in Ireland. So this is entirely feasible. You know, Ireland is naturally covered in forestry. Our soft fruits grow extremely well. The cob nut is a bigger and sweeter nut than the hazelnut. That grows naturally in Ireland. And other countries are using these products, and Ireland is not. Where a tiny amount of our land is used to grow crops, and most of those crops are fed to other animals to be then converted into flesh.
So it covers everything, Sandra. You're talking about for no more fish, poultry, pork, beef, lamb, milk, the derivative of cows as well. All that would be gone and replaced by alternatives derived from the plants.
It would. And you see, even the use of a word like pork. Pork is a pig. And a pig is a being who has feelings and senses and a brain the same as we have. So it's not just a change in how farmers farm. This will be a complete change in how we think about and feel about other animals. I'm not saying that it's the same, but it's comparable to how we discriminated against other humans, for instance, on the basis of their colour or their sexual orientation or their religion or their race or whatever. We completely underestimate the innate goodness in humans. I'm not saying that we don't have a very dark side, we do, but there's an innate goodness in humans, and we're well able to progress and change. If you think of the smoking ban, you know, we all thought that we'd never achieve that. And we did. We achieved it very easily and very successfully. I remember when computers came into the workplace, a lot of older people were terrified. Some people even resigned rather than have to computerise their offices. And now we can't do without computers, and they have a lot of advantages, and they have greatly improved the workplace.
So you're making the analogy that mankind is, and womankind, of course, is adaptable and can change if they want to. I suppose it's a big change or a big concept for people to feel, you know, that animals can't talk like ourselves, they can't express themselves like humans can, they don't seem to have the human intelligence. Although I wonder at times, Sandra, are we intelligent at all as beings?
I bet you do.
When you see things that are happening, I really do question it, I have to be honest with you. But here's another thing. Do you feel the tide is turning? Because there seems to be a lot of talk now about, you know what I mean, reducing, turning this for our health, for the planet. And of course, the Taoiseach even last week said he was going to cut down on red meat.
the tide is definitely turning. It's just that there is a lot of confusion out there because baby steps like eliminating one type of animal use is not going to cut it. In order for this to work, we need to completely change how we think about and feel about other animals. And, you know, if you went on holidays, Jerry, to a country where you didn't speak their language, you wouldn't understand them in the same way that we don't understand the way other animals communicate with each other. But the one thing that you do know is that if you grabbed one of them and hurt them or put a knife to their neck, you know that they would run away because they want to avoid harm and they have an interest in staying alive. And that's all we need to know. And, you know, I walked through a couple of shops there before Christmas and I saw the way everything was beautifully baked and packaged. And it's so easy to forget that inside that beautiful packaging is the dead body of somebody who wanted to stay alive. And they might not be the same as humans, but in terms of valuing their life and not wanting to be hurt and not wanting to die and not wanting to be used and owned, there's no difference between us.
My God, like, you have a real passion and a sense, I have to say, for what you see and what you observe as well. And you put it, I suppose, to a lot of people. It's shocking when they hear you say things like that. But, you know, it is the truth. You don't speak anything but the truth. Here's another one for you from the world of politics. I have to bring it in because I'm sure you'll have a smirk at this. It made me laugh immensely last week. What about Mr. Danny Healy-Ray saying that non-meat eaters couldn't do a hard day's work? Can you feed that man with plant-based foods and put him to work for 24 hours non-stop?
Yeah, well, it was an insult to the Taoiseach, because he had said
yes,
that he was going to reduce his meat intake. You know, we see this fight from the farmers, but it's very strange that we're not seeing it from any other industry. So, for instance, the cosmetics industry, the fragrance industry, the clothing industry, they're all adapting and changing how they produce to meet the growing market for products that have not used the bodies or the ingredients or the lives of other animals. The animal agricultural industry is the one that's fighting back stronger than anyone. And if you know, just to clear up that point that Danny Healy-Ray made for any of your listeners, if you look at the list of vegan athletes, wrestlers, rugby players, bodybuilders, runners, you know, Germany's strongest man, who are thriving on a plant diet. And all the World Dietetics Associations concur that a plant diet is nutritionally adequate. And in fact, we can go a little bit further now and we can see from all the reports that are coming out that it can confer great health benefits. Of course, you can eat a junk food plant diet that doesn't harm other animals, which is at least you're not harming other animals. But if you plan it and you eat a good whole food diet and cook your food from scratch, it'll pay dividends to humans as well. But we shouldn't need to be bribed. I think that's very important, that you can't bribe somebody to go vegan. And a lot of these reports, that's what they're doing. They're saying, oh, you know, oh, please be vegan because your health will be better and it'll protect the environment. Being vegan is the very least that we owe other animals. And it happens to have those other benefits, better rights for workers, better human health, less harm to the environment. But even if it didn't have those benefits, you know, it's a social justice issue and we're really morally obliged to stop breeding other animals so that we can deliberately kill them.
Sandra, always a pleasure talking to you. I admire, say it again, what you do, and I understand, and I've tried to make changes, and I'm always trying to, I promise you, in my own life as well. And I wish you well going forward, and thank you for taking our call and talking to me on Late Lunch today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Take care. Sandra Higgins there from Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in County Meath.